Let's read this morning 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Passage that we will meditate upon this morning in connection with the Lord's Supper is verse 2. But let's read this morning the entire chapter. The Word of God at 1 Corinthians 2. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yea, he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. So far we read God's holy word. As I said, it's the second verse that we meditate upon this morning. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, when you and I read the Word of God, what we are reading is a comprehensive guide to our lives. Truly, it is the case, as Psalm 119 teaches us, that God's Word is a lamp unto our feet and a light upon our path. Really, with respect to every detail of our lives, God's Word has something to say about it. Down to the smallest thing that we may face, we can find something in God's Word that teaches us about the way that we are to go and the way we are to understand that. We can be so thankful for that as we make our pilgrimage here on this earth, because we need that guidance with respect to everything we face in our lives. Not only is it the case that God's Word teaches us concerning the details of our own lives personally, but we can say the exact same thing with respect to the things that we see in this world on a grand scale. All the big issues that are talked about in the world today, in some way or another, God's Word addresses them. All of the wars that we see in the world, all of the natural disasters, even in our own country, tornadoes taking lives of individuals in the past month or so, the bombings in Boston, the list could go on and on. Anything else that is a big issue, God's Word says something about it. Once again, we can be thankful for that. because we need to be able to say something about those things from the Word of God. The danger with that, however, is that we become too focused on those things that are on the side. And it's in that connection that we can be so thankful for this verse that we have before us this morning. Because what the Apostle Paul does in this verse is say to the church in Corinth and to the church today, there is one thing that we need to know. Although God says everything about everything else, that's true, there's one thing more than anything else that we must know, and that's this: Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And beloved, the point is not that we draw a distinction between what I said at the beginning of the introduction and now this point, this main point concerning Christ and Him crucified, but the point is this: we look at everything else in light of and how it relates to this fundamental aspect of our Christian life and our salvation given to us by God. All of it is related to and all that flows out of this heart of the gospel, Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And that's why we can be not only thankful for this verse that keeps our focus always on what matters, Christ and Him crucified, but we can be thankful as well for the sacrament that we celebrate this morning. Because although there are many things that God teaches us, when it comes to the sacraments, not only the Lord's Supper, but baptism as well, it gets right to the essence of it all. What is pictured more than anything else? Jesus Christ and Him crucified. So to put ourselves in the proper frame of mind this morning as we partake of communion, we hear this word preached, the word concerning Christ crucified, declaring Christ crucified. We notice the three points this morning. First, the content. Secondly, the determination. And then last, briefly see the beautiful picture that we have in the sacrament. Declaring Christ crucified, the content, determination, and picture. Obviously, when you read the beginning of 1 Corinthians 2, the one who is speaking is the Apostle Paul. It starts right in verse 1, "And I, brethren, when I came to you," verse 2, "for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ." That's an obvious point. Of course, it was the Apostle Paul that wrote the letter to the church in Corinth, and it was the Apostle Paul that went to the city there and established the churches there. But nevertheless, I make that point at the outset this morning because it forces us, in a certain sense, to look at the Apostle Paul himself. He's speaking personally, although inspired by the Spirit, nevertheless, personally to the church in Corinth. And he says, "For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." It's something that is coming from the life and from the heart of the Apostle Paul. It's instructive, therefore, to think about what he's saying in light of what the Apostle Paul went through. The Apostle Paul understood experientially and personally exactly what he says in this verse to the church in Corinth and to us this morning. We know very well the history of the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul, at one time, was not the great apostle and preacher of the gospel. At one time, he was a terrible sinner, and he knew that. Paul could look back on his own life and look back in the past and know himself as a great sinner, and he could look at himself at the time that he wrote these words and know himself as a great sinner. It was this same man whom we are introduced first in Acts chapter 8 in the stoning of Stephen, and then in Acts chapter 9 in his own conversion. But what was the sin of the apostle? The sin of the apostle prior to his conversion was the fact that he rejected the very one that he is declaring in this verse to the church of Corinth. He stood at the site of the stoning of Stephen. He participated in that. And that stoning of Stephen, as we know, took place when he preached the gospel, and particularly when he came to the conclusion and said, "Who is this Jesus Christ whom you have crucified?" This Jesus Christ is the promised Messiah, the Savior of the church. That's when it hit them the most. And that's what led to the stoning of Stephen. And there was Paul participating in that very act. But yet we know the Lord turned him on that road to Damascus to do the very same thing, to persecute those who loved the Lord, those who accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, not in the wrong way that we understand that, but who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ as the Messiah and the Lord. He was going to persecute them on that road to Damascus. And as he was doing that, the Lord came to him and converted him. He convicted him of his sin. He saw Jesus Christ now as that promised Messiah, the only one that could cover his sins and give him salvation. And not only did the Lord do that to the Apostle Paul, but he said to the Apostle Paul, "I'm going to work in you in such a way that you, in a powerful way, are going to bring that gospel to the Gentile world and preach Jesus Christ." He says, for example, in Galatians chapter 1, really gives a good history of the Apostle Paul in these opening chapters of Galatians. He says in verses 15 and 16, "But when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace to reveal His Son in me, that I might preach Him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood." And then he says in verse 23, "But they had heard only that He which persecuted us in times past now preacheth the faith which once He destroyed." The point is this: the Apostle Paul, through his own experience, knew the greatness of his sin prior to his conversion. And when you read the book of Romans, you see that he understood the greatness of his sin even after his conversion. And he knew the Lord Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior and as the only one in whom there is salvation. And it's with that personal knowledge that he would go, for example, to the church in Corinth. And he says to the church in Corinth, "For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I myself am not going to know anything that more than that. And I am going to make that known to you, Jesus Christ and Him crucified." So that when the apostle would go to the church in Corinth, what he would see are sinners. Paul knew himself as a sinner, and when he would go to the Gentile cities, he would see sinners. And we know from the history of the city of Corinth that sinners indeed were they. It was a terribly immoral city. And we read these epistles and we know that that's the way these men and these women walked prior to the apostle coming to them. He saw sinners, great sinners. And he said to them, "This is what you need more than anything else." But beloved, we don't sit here this morning and just look at those sins of the Apostle Paul and just look at the sins of these saints in Corinth to whom he brought this word originally. But we sit here this morning and we look at ourselves and we see our own sins, because it's sin that necessitates what Paul is saying in this text. Christ and Christ crucified because we are sinners. In every respect, we understand what our sin is. We know that our sins are against the thrice holy triune God, of heaven and earth. We know not only that those are what our sins are, we know what our sins deserve. Eternal death. Hell itself. Separation from God. We know the guilt of sin. We know that when we don't confess our sins, it's a heavy burden that is upon our souls. We know the power of our sin. At times in our lives, gripped by a particular sin. Sinful natures that cling to us every single day. Beloved, don't look at the Apostle Paul this morning. Don't look at the church in Corinth. Look at yourself. And see, as we have done in this past week, this week of self-examination, see the greatness of our sin, which led the apostle and leads us to say today, this is what we must know, Christ and Christ crucified. The apostle Paul says this because that is the only way of forgiveness. He first identifies Him as Christ. Jesus, the one who is Jehovah's salvation, right at the very beginning of His life, in the naming of this one who came forth from the Virgin Mary, He shall be called Jesus. Why? For He shall save His people from their sins. He's Christ. He's the Anointed One. He's the Messiah. He's the one promised to God, by God to the people throughout all of history. We'll read this morning Isaiah chapter 53 during the sacrament. The great foreshadowing, telling the church, this is the one who will come, the Messiah, Christ, the one who will take upon Himself the sins of the people. So He identifies the person, the second person of the Trinity, the only one in whom there is salvation. It's through all of His work that there is salvation. But the apostle takes it one step further and he says, this is the essence of it all, crucified. Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Because beloved, as we all know, it was on that cross. As He hung there for 3 hours, particularly during those hours of darkness, that the heavy hand of God's wrath was upon Him. To live apart from God is death, we sang from Psalter number 203. He experienced that death. He experienced living apart for a time from God. He said those words, my God, why hast Thou forsaken Me? He did it not for Himself, but beloved, He did it for you, and He did it for me. That eternal wrath that we deserve for even one sin, He endured during those 3 hours of darkness. Christ not only, Jesus not only, but go to the heart of it all, crucified. It was there that we find our salvation. The Apostle Paul was determined to make that known to the people. He says that explicitly in the text, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. It's put forth in the negative, a double negative. I determined not to know anything among you save, except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Positively, he's simply just saying, I determined to know and to make known this, Jesus Christ and Him crucified. In other words, it was the resolve of his heart to make sure that they understood the heart of the gospel, Christ crucified. It's significant that he says that he was determined to do that, that there was nothing that was going to stop him in what he presented and preached to the people except this. In the context of 1 Corinthians 1 and 2, this is set over against, very clearly, the wisdom of the world. If you read 1 Corinthians 1 and 2, you see that that's the contrast that is set forth very clearly. He sets forth the wisdom of this world that they followed and that they believed prior to Him coming there. over against this gospel, which is the wisdom of God, foolishness to men, the wisdom of God, Jesus Christ, and Him crucified. Of course, today we can be influenced by the wisdom of this world, where we lose sight of the wisdom of God, where we are influenced by those who are teaching that which is not in accordance with God's Word. I think especially on the college campuses, we need to be so careful of this. If you are in college, if you anticipate going to college, where in a particularly poignant way is the wisdom of this world set forth? It's by those professors in a very powerful way. We need to be careful about this with respect to what we read. We do not only read Protestant Reform literature. Of course not. There are other good things that we are to read on a spiritual level. But if you get into something too far, you become influenced by the wisdom of this world. We can be influenced by the wisdom of this world. But I think when we read this passage, it goes back as well to what I said at the beginning of the sermon this morning in the introduction, that in everything we teach, in everything we proclaim, we look at all of the sideline things and we forget about what matters most, Christ and Him crucified. We need to hear this word this morning and be determined to hear and to preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And the way to do that, beloved, is exactly as the Apostle Paul does it, which is preach it. You read the context of 1 Corinthians 1 and 2, and that's what it's all about. It's preaching. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ be made none of effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. How did the apostle carry out exactly what he says in this verse? He preached. And every time he preached, what he proclaimed was Christ and Him crucified. To take this word to heart then, as a congregation, this is what is preached. And that's exactly the answer to the danger that I brought up a moment ago, that we focus on things that are not the essence of the gospel. No, the way to do it is to preach Christ crucified. And that's the beauty of it. It doesn't matter what passage of God's Word that you take. Anywhere in God's Word, in some way you can see the revelation of the cross of Christ, so that no matter what we're talking about, we see the essence of it all, Jesus and Him crucified. This word before us this morning, therefore, needs to be taken to heart, especially by me. I read this, and I need to be determined all the more as the servant of God to declare unto you Jesus Christ and Him crucified. It doesn't matter the passage. To work hard to make sure that the cross and Christ is revealed. A word to the office bearers as well. They oversee the sacrament. The elders do in particular. But a word to them is to make sure that among us, Trinity Protestant Reformed Church, this is true. That we are determined to know Christ and Him crucified. But it's a word to all of us when we sit in the pew to listen and to think in such a way that we see the beauty of Christ and Him crucified. Beloved, I say again, this is the essence of it all. This is the heart of the gospel. And that's why we consider it the morning that we partake of communion. Because we have a beautiful picture in the sacrament of exactly what the apostle is talking about here. It's striking, is it not, that of all of the things that could be pictured in a sacrament instituted by Christ, and there are many, You can look at the different aspects of our salvation. All sorts of different things about our lives here on this earth. All sorts of things about God. The sacraments instituted do not reveal first and foremost a particular attribute about God or this or that. It's striking. Of all of the things concerning God and our salvation, what more than else is pictured in this sacrament? The heart of it all, Christ and Him crucified. The breaking of the bread, the pouring out of the wine, picturing the broken body and poured out blood of Jesus. And where was that body broken? And where was that blood shed? Calvary. We preach that word. That's the focus. For read 1 Corinthians 1 and 2. The word is preached. But in the providence of God, He has given us the sacrament which displays that word. And in displaying that word and in consciously eating and drinking by faith Christ, may our faith be strengthened this morning through the sacrament. And may we know all the more, as the Apostle Paul says, may we know personally Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Amen. Our Father which art in heaven, we're thankful that we can put our hearts in the right place this morning by considering this word. A word that shows us our sin, but a word that shows us the only way of salvation, Christ and Him crucified. And Lord, may we not only hear that word preached as we have this morning, a preaching that Thou dost use to work faith in our hearts, but may now we have that faith confirmed by the sacrament that is before us and that we enjoy this morning. Bless us now as we partake of communion. Help us to do it in the right heart and with a spirit and a mind that is set upon our Savior. In His name alone do we pray. Amen. Let's turn now to the form for the administration of the Lord's Supper. That form is found on page 91 in the back of our Psalter. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, attend to the words of the institution of the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ, as they are delivered by the Holy Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 11:23 through 29. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He brake it, and said, Take, eat. This is My body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of Me. After the same manner also, He took the cup, when He had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in My blood. This do ye, as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of Me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till He come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. That we may now celebrate the supper of the Lord to our comfort, it is above all things necessary, first, rightly to examine ourselves. Secondly, to direct it to that end for which Christ hath ordained and instituted the same, namely, to His remembrance. The true examination of ourselves consists of these three parts. First, that every one consider by himself his sins and the curse due to him for them, to the end that he may abhor and humble himself before God, considering that the wrath of God against sin is so great that, rather than it should go unpunished, He hath punished the same in His beloved Son, Jesus Christ, with the bitter and shameful death of the cross. Secondly, that everyone examine his own heart, whether he doth believe this faithful promise of God, that all his sins are forgiven him only for the sake of the passion and death of Jesus Christ, and that the perfect righteousness of Christ is imputed and freely given him as his own, yea, so perfectly as if he had satisfied in his own person for all his sins and fulfilled all righteousness. Thirdly, that everyone examine his own conscience, whether he purposeth henceforth to show true thankfulness to God in his whole life, and to walk uprightly before him, as also whether he hath laid aside unfeignedly all enmity, hatred, and envy, and doth firmly resolve henceforward to walk in true love and peace with his neighbor. All those then who are thus disposed, God will certainly receive in mercy, and count them worthy partakers of the table of his Son, Jesus Christ. On the contrary, those who do not feel this testimony in their hearts eat and drink judgment to themselves. Therefore, we also, according to the command of Christ and the Apostle Paul, admonish all those who are defiled with the following sins to keep themselves from the table of the Lord, and declare to them that they have no part in the kingdom of Christ, such as all idolaters, all those who invoke deceased saints, angels, or other creatures, all those who worship images, all enchanters, diviners, charmers, and those who confide in such enchantments, all despisers of God and of His Word and of the Holy Sacraments, all blasphemers, all those who are given to raise discord, sects, and mutiny in church or state, all perjured persons, all those who are disobedient to their parents and superiors, all murderers, contentious persons, and those who live in hatred and envy against their neighbors, all adulterers, whoremongers, drunkards, thieves, usurers, robbers, gamesters, covetous, and all who lead offensive lives. All these, while they continue in such sins, shall abstain from this meat which Christ hath ordained only for the faithful, lest their judgment and condemnation be made the heavier. But this is not designed, dearly beloved brethren and sisters in the Lord, to deject the contrite hearts of the faithful, as if none might come to the supper of the Lord but those who are without sin. For we do not come to this supper to testify thereby that we are perfect and righteous in ourselves, but on the contrary, considering that we seek our life out of ourselves in Jesus Christ, we acknowledge that we lie in the midst of death. Therefore, notwithstanding we feel many infirmities and miseries in ourselves, as namely that we have not perfect faith, and that we do not give ourselves to serve God with that zeal as we are bound, but have daily to strive with the weakness of our faith and the evil lusts of our flesh. Yet since we are by the grace of the Holy Spirit sorry for these weaknesses, and earnestly desirous to fight against our unbelief and to live according to all the commandments of God, therefore we rest assured that no sin or infirmity, which still remaineth against our will in us, can hinder us from being received of God in mercy and from being made worthy partakers of this heavenly meat and drink. Let us now consider to what end the Lord hath instituted His supper, namely, that we do it in remembrance of Him. Now after this manner we are to remember Him by it. First, that we are confidently persuaded in our hearts that our Lord Jesus Christ, according to the promises made to our forefathers in the Old Testament, was sent of the Father into the world, that He assumed our flesh and blood, and that He bore for us the wrath of God, under which we should have perished everlastingly, from the beginning of His incarnation to the end of His life upon earth, and that He hath fulfilled for us all obedience to the divine law and righteousness, especially when the weight of our sins and the wrath of God pressed out of Him the bloody sweat in the garden, where He was bound that we might be freed from our sins, that He afterwards suffered innumerable reproaches, that we might never be confounded, and that He was innocently condemned to death, that we might be acquitted at the judgment seat of God. Yea, that He suffered His blessed body to be nailed on the cross, that He might fix thereon the handwriting of our sins, and hath also taken upon Himself the curse due to us, that He might fill us with His blessings, and hath humbled Himself unto the deepest reproach and pains of hell, both in body and soul, on the tree of the cross, where He cried out with a loud voice, my God, why hast Thou forsaken Me? That we might be accepted of God, and never be forsaken of Him, and finally confirmed with His death and shedding of His blood, the new and eternal testament, that covenant of grace and reconciliation when He said, it is finished. Secondly, and that we might firmly believe that we belong to this covenant of grace, the Lord Jesus Christ, in His Last Supper, took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it, and gave it to His disciples, and said, take, eat, this is My body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of Me. In like manner also after supper He took the cup, gave thanks, and said, drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in My blood, which is shed for you and for many for the remission of sins. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of Me. That is, as often as ye eat this bread and drink of this cup, you shall thereby, as by a sure remembrance and pledge, be admonished and assured of this My hearty love and faithfulness towards you, that, whereas you should otherwise have suffered eternal death, I have given My body to the death of the cross, and shed My blood for you, and as certainly feed and nourish your hungry and thirsty souls with My crucified body and shed blood to everlasting life. As this bread is broken before your eyes, and this cup is given to you, and you eat and drink the same with your mouth in remembrance of Me. From this institution of the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ, we see that He directs our faith and trust to His perfect sacrifice, once offered on the cross, as to the only ground and foundation of our salvation, wherein He is become to our hungry and thirsty souls the true meat and drink of life eternal. For by His death He hath taken away the cause of our eternal death and misery, namely sin, and obtained for us the quickening Spirit, that we might by the same who dwelleth in Christ as in the head and in us as His members might have true communion with Him and be made partakers of all His blessings of life eternal, righteousness, and glory. Besides, that we by this same Spirit may also be united as members of one body in true brotherly love. As the holy apostle saith, for we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. For as out of many grains one meal is ground and one bread baked, and out of many berries being pressed together, one wine floweth and mixeth itself together, so shall we all, who by a true faith are engrafted into Christ, be altogether one body, through brotherly love, for Christ's sake, our beloved Savior, who hath so exceedingly loved us, and not only shown this in word, but also in very deed towards one another. Here to assist us, the Almighty God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, through His Holy Spirit. Amen. That we may obtain all this, let us humble ourselves before God and with true faith implore His grace in prayer. O most merciful God and Father, we beseech Thee that Thou wilt be pleased in this supper, in which we celebrate the glorious remembrance of the bitter death of Thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to work in our hearts through the Holy Spirit, that we may daily more and more with true confidence give ourselves up unto Thy Son, Jesus Christ, that our afflicted and contrite hearts, through the power of the Holy Ghost, may be fed and comforted with His true body and blood, yea, with Him, true God and man, that only heavenly bread, and that we may no longer live in our sins, but He in us, and we in Him, and thus truly be made partakers of the new and everlasting covenant of grace, that we may not doubt, but Thou wilt forever be our gracious Father, never more imputing our sins unto us, and providing us with all things necessary, as well for the body as the soul, as Thy beloved children and heirs. Grant us also Thy grace, that we may take up our cross cheerfully, deny ourselves, confess our Savior, and in all tribulations, with uplifted heads, expect our Lord Jesus Christ from heaven, where He will make our mortal bodies like unto His most glorious body, and take us unto Him in eternity. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Strengthen us also by this Holy Supper in the Catholic, undoubted Christian faith, whereof we make confession with our hearts, saying, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. That we may now be fed with the true heavenly bread, Christ Jesus, let us not cleave with our hearts unto the external bread and wine, but lift them up on high in heaven, where Christ Jesus is our advocate at the right hand of His heavenly Father, whither all the articles of our faith lead us, not doubting, but we shall as certainly be fed and refreshed in our souls through the working of the Holy Ghost with His body and blood, as we receive the holy bread and wine in remembrance of Him. As the table is being prepared, let's sing from the Psalter, number 140. 140. Let's sing all four stanzas.
Thank you.
bread which we break is the communion of the body of Christ. Take, eat, and do so in remembrance of Him. Isaiah chapter 53. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, and he shall prolong his days. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong. Because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. The cup of blessing which we bless is the communion of the blood of Christ. Take, drink ye all of it, and do so in remembrance of him. Beloved in the Lord, since the Lord hath now fed our souls at this table, Let us therefore jointly praise His holy name with thanksgiving. And everyone say in his heart thus, Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy towards them that fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. Who hath not spared His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, and given us all things with Him. Therefore God commendeth therewith His love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified in His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. Therefore shall my mouth and heart show forth the praise of the Lord from this time forth, forevermore. Amen. Let's offer now the prayer of thanksgiving. O Almighty, merciful God and Father, we render Thee most humble and hearty thanks that Thou hast of Thine infinite mercy given us Thine only begotten Son for a mediator and a sacrifice for our sins, and to be our meat and drink unto life eternal, and that Thou givest us lively faith, whereby we are made partakers of such great benefits. Thou also hast been pleased that Thy beloved Son Jesus Christ should institute and ordain His Holy Supper for the confirmation of the same. Grant, we beseech Thee, O faithful God and Father, that through the operation of Thy Holy Spirit, the commemoration of the death of our Lord Jesus Christ may tend to the daily increase of our faith and saving fellowship with Him. Through Jesus Christ, Thy Son, in whose name we conclude this prayer, saying, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.